We are live. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Log On Games podcast. I know it looks different, I hope. If you are watching us at any point, whether it's live right now or tomorrow when the podcast normally comes out or later today or whatever, definitely leave us a comment and let us know how we look, how we sound, all those things. We are trying something different out, as we've said on past podcasts. So we can stream it live to all of you fellers and lady fellers, and hopefully this works out where we can interact with you guys a little bit more, and it also is less work on our end, and hopefully it's cool. So that's about it. On this episode today, we're going to be talking Sea of Thieves coming to PS5, has a closed beta that's been happening this week. The last of the announced Xbox games to hit PS5 for the time being. Also, X Defiant got a update finally for the first time in forever. We have a closed, or no, it's an open beta test or server test or whatever they're calling it, this weekend. So what does that mean for release, etc.? On this episode with me today, you can find him at XUser8X. Everywhere. We have Matthew on the podcast.
What up? How's it going? Oh, you were using the background noise filter, and that did not work well with your gong.
Okay. Well, listen, it's all, we're figuring things out here.
That's awesome.
Well, Matthew, what's up?
Not much. Just hanging. Now, video game wise, been playing a combination of sports games. Been playing MLB The Show, as well as Football Manager. So two different types of things. Actually had a guy yesterday that asked me, he goes, would your dream job be like being able to be the manager for a baseball team or like a head coach for a basketball team or something? I said, no. That my dream job would be to be a GM for one of those things. That would be, give me somebody else's money to build the team with, and I'm all about that stuff. So
the Powerball here in Georgia, it's reset now, but like 2 weeks ago it was up to like $1.3 billion or something like that. And me and Emily would talk about like what would happen if we won the lottery. And my answer is always exactly the same. I would
buy a team.
First of all, I'd go straight to OKC. But if that didn't work, I would pick some team to buy into. Obviously, I would have enough money to like buy the whole team outright. But just to be like, I bought into this team. I'm going to receive a check every year. I'm just going to move to the city and like go to every game and just be like, I'm part owner of this team.
I am Mark Cuban.
Life, pretty much. And then I was like, so what's the, like, what do you do if you win the lottery and you want to do like that? Like if we won $1.3 billion, which after taxes is what, $750 million, something like that.
No, it's way less than that. About half. You get a little bit more than half you get to keep.
So like, would I just like walk in to their offices and be like, hey, I need to talk to somebody. I would like to give you guys $400 million.
You have to walk in. You have to walk in with one of the giant checks written out.
Yeah, I would like to speak to the person, whoever's in charge of me giving them hundreds of millions of dollars. I would like to do that. Mm-hmm. And the receptionist just being like, have to decipher like if this is real, or is this just somebody that wants to talk to Sam Presti for some reason?
I know, right? I think I would do a similar thing, but I'm more ingrained in the Football Manager soccer world, and the soccer world ownership, not in America, but anywhere else in the world, is so much more friendly to the owner. Whereas if you buy an NBA team, it's just a lot more red tape to get almost anything done. If you want to get better players, you have to do it through the draft or trade this, that, or the other. Soccer world, it's like you want better players. You go, okay, I'll buy them. Like there are rules. You can only spend so much money more than
I've watched Ted Lasso. I know all the rules. Okay,
that's probably all the rules of that you know from Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
But you still are lacking a lot. But my point is, I would do the Ryan Reynolds thing. I'd go over and buy one of these teams in England that are lower down in the leagues, put some that you mm-hmm. could buy for, I don't know. You could buy it. Depending Pennies. On what team you're talking about.
Pounds.
How far down you want to go, you could buy a team for like $50,000, $100,000. But I'd probably go down lower leagues and buy a team and put some money into it, try to build it up. That'd be so fun.
We are going to London in September. We're going to France for my wife's sister's wedding. And then the next week we're going to London for like vacation stuff.
September, and, you said?
Yeah. So we've been looking around and I've been curious. I'm like, what's going on like in Wembley Stadium, like while we're there? Or what's, is there going to be, it's going to be right after the Olympics, which is in Paris. Mm-hmm. We're only going to be in, we fly in and out of Paris. So we're only going to be in Paris to like do things for like a day and a half for like 2 days. So there may still be like Olympic things happening.
Could be.
But I'm curious, I have been curious to wonder like what, if any sporting things are going to happen. Like, isn't the NFL, they do stuff in London, right?
Uh-huh. And usually it's towards the beginning of the season, I think, too. So which it's always be, Jacksonville for whatever reason.
Which would be like when we're there.
That
so
it may already be announced. It could be. I know you're not a huge soccer fan, but the Premier League, there's always like 4 to 6 teams that are in the London area that are in the Premier League. And they start up beginning of September and August.
Yeah, I'd go to one if it was cheap enough. Because right now we're doing like...
my favorite team's in London.
I'll be there. There's also a Ted Lasso tour you can do, which we're definitely going to do.
Yep.
It tours all of like Richmond and goes to like the pub and everything where they film stuff.
Mm-hmm. Where did they film that? Do you know?
I think they film it there.
Well, Richmond SC like, is not a real... They're not a real.
No, but I think they film it like in London. Because I'm sure. I've seen like behind the scenes pictures of them like in London doing stuff.
It's at SkyX Community Stadium, which is Hayes and Yedding United FC. That's a team I've literally never heard of, so it's not a big one. That's let's see how far down they are in the leagues. It's got to be down there, because
this is now so it, like when we have Andrew and Berserker, I mean Andrew and Carlos on, it's a food podcast. It's a sports podcast.
I know, right? They're in the Southern League, Premier Division South, which is the okay. They're the way that England soccer works. There's 20 teams in the top division. The bottom three at the end of the season go down. And
yeah, yeah.
It's not exactly the top three, but whatever. They go up. And so there's bunches of tiers. There's 22 tiers. The stadium that Ted Lasso, the stadium that they use is a team in the 7th tier. So they're way
nice. Not anymore.
But I don't know either.
Ted Lasso build them up.
I probably should have checked. Is that around England? Or England? Around London?
Probably.
It's in Hayes. Place called Hayes. Let's see. Is that? Oh, it is. It's like the outskirts of London.
There you go.
Oh, there's Richmond. Richmond's right there.
Yeah. So like, the tour probably goes to all of that.
Probably so. And that is definitely kind of like, I don't really know where the city limits are and stuff like that, but I would call that, just looking at it, that's like Greater London.
Yeah. Well, but we want to welcome everybody to the Log On Games podcast. This is a weekly show in which our hosts discuss a variety of gaming news topics from new games, big announcements, events, and more. New episodes upload every Friday on wherever you want to stream your podcast at. And normally it is every Friday. But, you know, if this stream goes well, I'll have to listen to it afterwards. It's possible that, like, my volume is way down here and Matthew's is way up here and you can't hear anything and then we've screwed each other up. But I don't know.
I don't think so
either. And I know there's a button on here where you can like, it'll like mess with audio for you, but we seem to sound fine, I think.
I have the live stream pulled up and it sounds decent.
Good. You can follow us at Log On Games on all the social media platforms.
everything.
Typically don't post that much, but...
Just did.
I just did. I'll be posting when we go live. Typically, if this works out, which hopefully it will, we'll be going live when we normally record. So normally the podcast comes out like early Friday mornings. Mm-hmm. But we typically record Thursdays anywhere between like 3 and 6. But usually right at 5 or 5:30. So maybe we try and keep it consistent to like 5:30 or something like that. But we'll have it up. If you're on our YouTube channel, you will see the thumbnail and what time we'll go live. If everything works out, we'll also be going live over on Twitch at the same exact time. So you'll be able to watch us pretty much wherever most people watch streams.
24/7.
If you are watching this live or after the fact, definitely give us a comment. Let us know how we look, how we sound. Anything that'll help us out as we try and figure all this new stuff out. Obviously, we have the StreamYard logo up here in the top right corner. That is what we're using. We're using the free version right now because we're just trying things out. But we'll have all of our logos and stuff if everything works out. So let us know. But let's get to some topics for this week. We're in that lull area still where nothing's happening. Games are coming out here and there. And as far as gaming news goes, we are coming up on the end of May, beginning of June, where all the Summer Game Fest and Jeff Grubb said that there is going to be a PlayStation event in the end of May like there was last year. He said he doesn't know if it is a showcase or a state of play yet. But I believe last year it was a showcase and it was one of the most disappointing ones ever. The year before... it was a state of play, and it was like the best state of play ever. You remember that? When they announced like Resident Evil 4 remake and all that stuff. So who knows what we'll get. Yeah. But he's not typically wrong about...
let's say 30 minutes of Death Stranding.
Death Stranding 2. Could be.
Yeah.
He's typically not wrong about these kinds of things, and it would line up. We've already got the Summer Game Fest announced for the beginning of June. I want to say Xbox has already said that they're going to do theirs, but I could be wrong. But it seems like it'll be status quo for this year. I know last year we didn't have a Nintendo one. I don't really know what to think about this year because if the rumors are true that the Switch 2 was going to come out in holidays but it's been pushed to spring, then maybe they just don't do a state of play until like the fall where they can kind of do their blowout thing.
Not state of play, but whatever they call it. Direct.
Yeah, their Nintendo Direct,
Yeah.
But we'll see. But there are some things that are happening. For example, let me pull up a new window here because I'm still trying to get all my stuff figured out.
Get your bearings.
Where I can read. We'll start with Sea of Thieves here. This is coming from IGN.com. As Sea of Thieves prepares to set sail for the PlayStation 5, developer Rare has announced it has seen 40 million players since the launch in 2018. In a blog post, executive producer Joe Nate said Sea of Thieves' 40 million player milestone comes from users across Xbox, Windows 10, and Steam. Since launching on the Xbox One and PC 6 years ago, Rare has released over 100 free updates. Season 12 launches soon and brings with it new additions like throwing knives and the bone collar. I don't know what that is, but I'm down to throw some knives.
You know, You do like knife throwing kind of games.
I'm a knife throwing kind of guy.
You are.
Well, I mean, we've played Sea of Thieves through the years quite a bit.
We have.
We play those big bosses and stuff, and a million skeletons come out, and you're running around trying not to get hit. It'd be nice to turn
around.
That's fair. Bah, bah, bah. Sea of Thieves launches on PS5 on April the 30th, with Premium Edition offering 5 days of early access from April 25th. Progress and items transfer from the Xbox version to the PS5 version, and there are PlayStation-only servers with the ability to disable crossplay. Performance options match the Xbox Series X version, and the PS5 version has 60 base trophies and a platinum trophy called Pirate Perfectionist. Those are, for those of you that don't know, there is a performance mode that is 120 frames at 1080p. Regular is 4K 60, I believe. So there's that. When Sea of Thieves launches, they just talk about more stuff, but the gist of it, I'm glad we have the numbers for this now, because it'll be very interesting to see what that number is 6 months from now, a year from now, whatever, with adding the PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
Simply because, like, it says 40 million players ahead of PS5 launch. Like,
Yeah.
if in the fall they announce another thing and they've had 60 million players, whatever, that means a lot
Sure.
of PlayStation 5 players jumped in, which would
Yeah.
mean Xbox would be like, hey, we should put more games over there. Maybe we should try and put a Halo or a Gears or something big over there just to see what happens,
If they put Halo on PlayStation, there would be more players on PlayStation on Halo than there are on Xbox on Halo.
It would be on day one.
But I have my reservations. I like Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves is fun. It's not new.
Not new. I mean, to a lot of PlayStation people, it's new, though.
Sure. I just don't know. I mean, we'll see. I agree. It'll be interesting to see what their player count goes up to, because I just don't know how many people are on PlayStation that haven't played Sea of Thieves on something else that are going, man, I can't wait to play Sea of Thieves.
I don't think it's that
Again.
I can't wait to play Sea of Thieves. I think it's just like it pops up in the store and you're like, oh yeah, I heard this game is really good. Let's snag it.
See, I
Because
don't think that.
we've seen the sales for the Xbox One and the Xbox Series consoles compared to PlayStation. So there's definitely, I think there's a bunch of PlayStation people that went from PS4 to PS5 and never bought an Xbox because what's the point?
I
And now this
agree.
game's coming there, so.
I don't know. I'm curious. I'm not saying that it will or won't do well. It feels like something that would do very well if it was on the, it's on Game Pass if they put it on the catalog too, where it was free to play.
Yeah,
That'd be,
true.
then you'd pull a bunch of people in. I just don't know how many people are going to buy it when you can just play it for free on Game Pass. There may be more than I think, but I'm curious about that.
I'm going to be this a little hypocritical because I've never said this or done this before in my life, but I think I'm going to buy it on PlayStation 5 simply to encourage them to put more over there. And also, we have a friend that plays it on the Series S. I don't know if he's going to buy it on PlayStation or not. He plays it on the Series S. He came over here because he had a flight that left out of Atlanta. And he woke up in the morning and came down and played Sea of Thieves on the Series X here. So we were in the car. I was like, did it look better? He's like, oh yeah. It's like, it looked really good. So I'm thinking that he might end up buying it on PS5 so just so he can get like the full experience. And it's also nice that everything carries over. Like all of your stuff carries over and stuff like that.
I don't know. I'm interested. I have not heard of a lot of people on PlayStation that don't have a way to play Sea of Thieves that are clamoring for it. But again, it's from a Xbox, from a Microsoft first party game perspective, it's the best one as a whole that they have to offer, really. And that's was not expected.
Yeah, I was talking to that same friend about
Oh, I know him.
if I buy Sea of Thieves on PlayStation, I want to play Hellblade. It comes out in May next month. After that, as of now, the only game that I'm looking forward to on the Xbox side is Fable, and that could be 2 years away.
Years.
So I was
I
like,
was saying,
if I were to buy Sea of Thieves on PlayStation, when am I going to touch my Xbox again? Because
yeah,
that's
I
usually why we are on it.
when a game comes to Game Pass, that's when you're gonna touch it again. Because that's what I do. To be fair, they've put some games on Game Pass over the last half a year that are really like intriguing to me, up my alley kind of thing. The game that I'm most looking forward to coming up is, and they already have it sitting there, Frostpunk 2. I love Frostpunk. Frostpunk's a phenomenal game. Actually, considering getting the board game, but those kind of things, like those games getting thrown on Game Pass. I don't know. I'm
Yeah. Like we just
F1
played Dead
manager.
Island 2. That was on Game Pass, but
I
we
want to
waited a
play it with
year
you.
to play it, and then it came out, and then we played it, and that's about it. You don't need
I
to
wanted
play
to
it.
play that with you. I have the game,
You don't need to play it.
but it's not
You don't need to play
cross play on things.
it. We were making, as we were heading towards the end of that game, we were like, is this better than Dying Light 2? That was the comparison we made. Because we all pretty much did like Dying Light 2. Yeah, I say yes as well, but it's not like meaningful.
No.
The combat was a little bit more fun.
7 out of 10 kind of is what I heard.
I wouldn't even give it that. I'd probably give Dying Light 2 a 3 out of 10 and this like a 5 out of 10.
Wow.
It is what it is.
Fair enough.
I mean, both games, especially this game, like, it just feels like, if you like Dead Island, which we do, it feels like they, no time has passed and they just made another Dead Island game in 2010 or whatever. That's what it feels like, which is like, you know, there's some fun moments, but there's nothing.
I'm going to pull up the Game Pass thing right now and see what it kind of says is coming up.
But I mean, Xbox is in a weird place right now, which is typical for Xbox. There's definitely a shift happening. How big of a shift it is, like, Sea of Thieves shouldn't be on PlayStation. Like, the reason Sea of Thieves and all these other games, Grounded, Pentiment, and whatever the other one was, coming to PlayStation, is simply because somebody in Microsoft was like, we spent all this money to buy all these things. Like, we need to start recouping some of that money.
These games are too good to sit on our console and not make any money.
And my guess is that some people, and this has been rumored and there's articles written about this, but it seems like some people are like, no, we need to stick with the Xbox brand and keep the games that are exclusive or can be exclusive, you know, over here. And then some are like, no, we need to make money. And so maybe this was like a compromise or like a test to see. It also, all of these four games coming out in the first half of the year makes me think that we're going to get more the second half of the year. Otherwise, why wouldn't you just like spread this out? You know, why wouldn't you put like Hi-Fi Rush in the spring, Sea of Thieves in the summer, Grounded in the fall or whatever?
I don't know about Hi-Fi Rush. I think what it seems like is that they're willing to get their games as service games everywhere. And then the single player games are staying, you know.
I'm hoping that it sells well, specifically this game, because it's the biggest of all the four.
I have
just
no idea.
Just so someone can be like, let's just put Halo Infinite or the Master Chief Collection over on PlayStation this fall, because it'll sell like gangbusters. And
Halo Infinite, Halo Infinite multiplayer.
I think that's, I mean,
like, keep the single player. You know what I'm saying? Like, just put the I think that would work.
That'd and that's fun. The weirdness and the confusion that is Xbox right now, because, like,
yeah,
somebody that works at Xbox will say, I mean, Halo is a tentpole title for us, and it's always only going to be on Xbox. And then 2 days later, Phil Spencer will do an interview where he's like, well, you know, if there's a game, you know, if there's a game that can be successful on other platforms, like, we're thinking about doing that. And then it's just like, no one knows what's actually happening. So I'm just hoping it sells well. I'm excited. I don't know if I'll buy this immediately, but at some point we're going to be in the Sea of Thieves hype again. And I'm going to be like, screw it. I think it's $40 for the base model.
That's what I was
about
to ask.
For the base game on PlayStation. And that's, you know, if it goes on sale for like the Summer Game Fest sale thing or something like that, maybe it goes down to like $30 or something like that. But, and it's got trophies. Big trophy guy.
DLC and stuff that you've bought on Xbox, does that carry over?
I would assume so, but
I don't know.
What?
I'm just not sure how that works.
I don't think there's been paid DLC.
You may be right on that. I don't know.
I mean, there's been like microtransactions that you pay, like my dog and my cat and my stuff.
Everybody needs a dog and a cat.
My fox. I think I have a fox now too.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, excited for it. I know the closed beta is going on right now.
Really
fun
game.
And people are liking it. I think it's been successful. I haven't seen anybody having like issues or anything like that, so that's all good.
Just give me haptic triggers, that's all I care about, you know.
I think they got everything. That's probably that was surprising to me that like they did trophies And they have dedicated servers if you want to disable crossplay for PlayStation only and stuff like that. I'm just like, that's, they really like, they went all out. Yeah, I wasn't expecting, which makes, again, makes me think, like, if you're gonna go all out for Sea of Thieves, what else are you gonna go all out for? So.
Well, that's their, again, that's their one game that they kind of know anywhere this game goes, it's going to be successful to some degree. I'm just curious how, what, to what that degree is on PlayStation.
To wit, one would say.
To wit.
Alrighty, let's move on to our next topic, which is X Defiant. Andrew Monroe and I and Colby and Tanner and Matthew. I guess you weren't a part of this, but we played the server test beta thing in like whenever it was, September, October, or something of last year of X
Okay.
Defiant, and had a decently good time with it. It was fun. It seemed to work fine. And then a bunch of random weird things happened. It was supposed to come out last summer. Then it was supposed to come out shortly after the server test. And then it got pushed and got pushed and got pushed and got pushed. And then went dark. And then there was a bunch of articles coming out and people saying, like, hey, you're not going to play this anytime soon. They're having a lot of issues. Hey, this game might actually be canceled. Blah, 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 blah. Bunch of things that didn't sound good. But here we are. This is, I'm reading this from Forbes.com. Just when Call of Duty's big 420 Cheech and Chong event is going live, Ubisoft's Call of Duty killer, X Defiant, is returning for its long-awaited server test session. It's been almost an entire year since we last got to play, so I guess it's been like summer, even longer than that. Since we last got to play the competitive first-person shooter, and extended periods of silence and a few updates have made the community nervous. The stress test is meant to do exactly what it says: melt the servers, as producer Mark Rubin put it. I know it's been a long road to get back to this point with a lot of frustration on the way, but this gets us even closer to going live. X Defiant is a first-person shooter that is very much in the tradition of Call of Duty, fast-paced twitch shooters with a milsim veneer, though it promises lots of things gamers have been asking for, including ping-based matchmaking instead of skill-based matchmaking. As of yet, Ubisoft has not announced an actual release date, but the stress test like this should serve to showcase the game's map and any changes to the gameplay since the last playtest, which left me with a lot of mixed feelings about the game. While it's certainly a very capable shooter, I'm thrilled to have some times. Okay, whatever. Basically, it is very Call of Duty-like, as far as like the actual gameplay goes. But there is a little bit, a tiny bit of Apex in there, a tiny bit of Overwatch in there. Because it's like, I wouldn't call it a hero shooter, but there are definitely different classes based on all these different Ubisoft games, whether it's The Division,
Hero
Splinter Cell,
shooter-ish.
yeah, Splinter Cell, whatever. Like you'll have your dude with your specific
Loadout
loadout,
or
your
whatever.
specific super, your ult, whatever you may call it.
Skill.
There's
Very much
different
like
game
Siege,
modes.
probably, right?
Kind of, yeah. There's also like there is a what you call it in Overwatch? Like you're taking the car to the end of the map or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They have like that game. That's a game mode in this. But it is pegged to be like to compete specifically against Call of Duty. Like the people that made this game, I've already come out and said like we made this. Some of them left Call of Duty to make this game to do the like changes and stuff that they wanted to do. We played it last, and it last, I guess, summer, according to this article, and
Right.
we liked it a lot. Speaking for myself, I know Andrew Monroe. We've been texting back and forth about this game through the years, being like, "What the heck is happening? When we're gonna be able to play it?" Because the downside to us for the server test last year was all the like XP and stuff that you're gaining. Like, there's only like a set amount of things you can have and do in the server test, you know. So like XP, you can't like put towards anything. Like the guns that you use, you can't level up any further to like unlock things and stuff like that. So we were like, it's gonna be really exciting when the game comes out. And not only are we having fun playing the game, but we can use our XP and do our upgrades and unlock different classes and all that kind of stuff. And it actually is like working towards something at that point rather than the server test just kind of being like, this is the classes you can choose and these are the weapons you can choose and that's it. There's really no, you're gonna get XP, but you can't do anything with it yet, and all that kind of stuff. But we had a fun time with it, and it's free to play. And I was telling Monroe over text this week, like, this giant update, which it seems like, if we want to believe some of the rumors and the articles that have come out. Oh my gosh, he's in the chat, guys. I'm so excited to do this. X Defiant Rises. Look at that. Look at where we're
there
going.
He is.
We got our first super chat. Yeah, we were talking over text this week, and the rumors and the articles and stuff that were coming out were like, yeah, they wanted to add a party system to the game. And then when they added the party system, it would like if they would add something to the game, like a different party system, it would like break another part of the game. So they had to make sure that it all worked. And then during that downtime, they would also be working on stuff. And so like once they would get like the party system to a good place, they would add something else in the game, whether it was like a new class or a new item or new build. And then that would break this other part of the game. And so there was a lot of like that going on, which is kind of weird because when we played it last summer, there was like no bugs. There was like no glitches. It ran smooth for us. So we were like, when we were done with the server, we were like, it ran fine. Like it seemed to us like the game was ready to go. So the fact that it's been like almost a year now, it's kind of crazy, but I'm excited for it.
Yeah, interesting. I'm interested. Honestly, let me tell you what I was doing while you were talking about that, because for whatever reason, maybe it's just Ubisoft. I don't know. But you talking about X Defiant made me go, yeah, I kind of want to play The Division again. So I'm currently downloading The Division 2. So,
well, me and Colby played The Division 2 last year, all the way through. It was fun.
But one of those times where there was a lull in much gaming. More, correct?
Yeah, the New York, Lords of New York expansion, which is like a giant expansion that adds like a ton to the game, came out years ago at this point. But it's always on sale for like $5. Like, it's always crazy cheap. And we were the like, yeah, one of these days when there's, yeah, we were like, one of these days when there's a lull, let's buy it and play through the big expansion too. But we haven't done that yet.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I have to figure out the DLC, what all there is. I feel like I heard that there was some sort of, is there not DLC that came out within the last like little bit? I guess not.
I think they announced a new one or something.
Then
they did their whole Division stream where they talked about like Heartland, and then they're making a brand new Division game, and then they were gonna do some. I think maybe they announced a Division 2 something else. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Which surprised me.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, I don't know. XFI, it is interesting. And honestly, if we go back to what the conversation we had before, even with the Sea of Thieves and all that kind of stuff, the Call of Duty killer that should be out is Halo. That should be the Call of Duty killer. It's just they made stupid decisions, so it's not. Gameplay's great. Gameplay's phenomenal. It's just the other stuff.
Yeah. We've seen... forget the names of all these games at this point, though. But we've seen Battle Royales try and come and go. We've seen Ubisoft do them. We've seen Square Enix do them. We've seen all these people. And the new one, The Finals, that's come out that a lot of people liked, kind of, but we talked about it. We were, whatever podcast it was a couple weeks ago, where we went on and The Finals had like 700 viewers on Twitch. Like, no one's playing the game. So, this is the first game, free-to-play game, that's come out in years that I've actually been like excited for, think that it's good already, just based on the little that I've played. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be successful. So hopefully like this last year that they've been trying to get stuff figured out, like they've also been working on content. So it's not just going to be like the game's out and then there's no content for a year. And that's what usually kills these games. Hopefully it'll be like the game's out and then 2 months later, we get like a whole nother class of people or something, and some map drops and stuff like that. But
and I'm
I don't know.
Interesting.
I mean, it's a very sweaty game. It is very old school Call of Duty, fast paced, like low time to kill. Like you see somebody, they're dead. You know.
Yeah.
But there's abilities and stuff going on. I know in the server it was like I was playing the healer, which is. If you're doing like the control map, you know, they have A, B, and C, and you need to like control those things. My guy is freaking yeet out. I think I was the Division guy. Like, he yeets out the little med kit that covers a certain area. Anybody in there like gets healing for a certain amount of time or whatever.
Right.
So, like, there's that going on, and there's people that will send out like little drones that'll explode. It'll seek out people, and when it gets to somebody, it'll explode. Or if you're the Splinter Cell people, it's a lot of highlighting people throughout the map and stuff like that. So, like, it's more than just Call of Duty, just like whatever. There's stuff that's going on. And you can kind of, you can upgrade those abilities and stuff, which we couldn't do in the server test, and they become better and better. But
sure.
It'll be interesting to see. I'm excited for it.
I'm interested too with this, the way the server, this game releasing with working servers is like imperative. Is it free to play? Did we say that?
Yeah, it's free to play.
So yeah, so many games get this wrong. They do a server stress test, and then they like, all right, well, now our server stress test, that's exactly how many people are going to play the game when it comes out, apparently. And so the game comes out and everybody's like, oh, this game's out, let's all play. And then you can't because you screwed up your server stress test. So we'll see what happens. And it's, like I said, it's imperative that you take a game that's like this, that's free to play, and people on day one, or at least like 8 hours after the game releases, your servers are to the point where anybody can hop on and play.
Yeah.
Right.
So, well, there's, it's this weekend. It's, I think it starts at, no, let's see, let me get this right. Let's just make sure we get this right. The server stress test runs from April 19th to the 21st. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern time, which is 10 a.m. Pacific time, tomorrow, Friday.
It's good math. It's good math.
And ends on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific.
Nice.
And it is on PC, PS5, and the Xbox Series S and X. So,
cool.
Download and play it with us, Matthew. Do it for a day.
We can do it. Yeah. We can do it, for sure.
There are some rewards that you get for being a part of the stress test. I don't know if they're the same as the last time. I think the last time you did it, we got like an emblem when the game comes out.
Gotcha.
This time I saw it was like... there's like three different things. There's like an emblem and then a gun skin and then an actual gun maybe or something. If you hit like level 18 over the stress test was like the biggest thing that you could do.
Okay. Cool.
But we'll see. Coming. And it'll be here before you know it. Hopefully this means that it's coming out soon. But
hopefully. You would think. You would think. Probably like,
I mean, we thought that last time. But who knows? One of the things is if you play in a party, you get something.
Gotcha.
You get a gun skin.
The fact that this is the whole point of this, it sounds to me like the one that y'all played was a game stress test. Break the game if you can. And this is a server stress test, which you would assume means the game's pretty much where it's going to be from a game perspective. It's just a server deal. So...
Well, they're switching, like I said in the article, to ping-based matchmaking over skill-based matchmaking. So I don't know if that's good or bad. I know there's arguments for both sides, and I know people, especially in like Call of Duty, get really upset about it. Happens in Apex too, skill-based over ping-based, where people are just like,
there's got to be some combination of the two, right? Right. You have to have some combination of the two.
I think we'll Overwatch see. Just did something similar where it used to be skill-based and now it's not so much like, from my
open.
My acknowledgement is like, if you do skill-based matchmaking, like everybody is around your skill, which can become frustrating at times because you're not going to have those games where you just ball out and you get 20 kills and you're just like, you feel like king of the castle. It's always just going to be stressed. Like everyone's the same as close as possible. So it's going to be very competitive. Sure. But then the opposite side of other matchmaking is like you'll have games where you just get absolutely wrecked, but you'll have games where you absolutely wreck people. So you you'll have both of. I guess it just depends on what you like and what you think is fun.
Yeah. Yep, so, I'm with you. I don't know. Interesting.
But on the ping based side, I assume that's simply because like you wanna make it as fair as humanly possible, and like you don't wanna. The old Halo days where you melee each other and you both die. You know, you don't want that kind of stuff to be happening. So we're going to do ping-based matchmaking. So people with terrible ping can be on their own server somewhere out in the abyss trying to figure out how to shoot somebody around the wall.
People with bad ping can just stay on Rocket League.
Exactly. That's what we've been
there. That's where we find
Speaking of Rocket League, Matthew, I don't know if you know this, but they had an update this last week.
Did we not play after the update? We played before the update?
played before the update. Okay. Probably the most pointless update ever in any game history, if you want my
Oh, I saw the rarities, the rarities thing.
Out, we played, me and Colby played last night, and
yeah.
So the game, I looked it up. The game came out July 7th of 2015. So mm-hmm. this July will be 9 years that mm-hmm. Rocket League has come out. And for some reason now, like, they've done like no changes really at all to the game mm-hmm. as far as like gameplay wise. They've done stuff to microtransaction and stuff, but
mm-hmm.
other than the biggest update, which was like, remember we're going to make every map the exact same size. Because remember when the game first came out, they had the maps for like the goal. There's space behind it. And mm-hmm. they had maps that were like twice the size. They had maps that the corners were different, and it was just a disaster. So they made the change to like all the maps are pretty much going to be exactly the same,
mm-hmm.
ground wise. This update had the rarities, which is like sport. That. They just named random
It's the
things.
Same rarities. They just changed the names.
It is so dumb. Who was asking for that?
No one.
And then the other
now we're all
going to
be confused.
Now the other change that they did was when you're playing, you can see your teammates, how much boost they have. So it's a little circle beside their names. And if the circle's filled, that has boost. You see them boost, you see the circle go down.
Okay, so that's actually helpful.
Now you can, I mean, sure, but like, if, like, why not do that 3 years
forever ago?
Like, was it,
no, I agree with
were
you.
People
yeah.
like in the Rocket League community, like, for the last 5 years being like, we need to know how much boost our teammates have, put it in the game.
No.
Like, all right, but well, that they is, did it on a random, like a random Tuesday in April, 9 years after the game's come out.
I agree with you that that is weird, but that can be very helpful. Like, just to be able to know that, like, your teammate's not going to be able to fly up and save that, even though you're expecting him to, because he's out of boost, or your teammate's out of boost, therefore he's coming back on defense to get boost or whatever. Like, it is helpful.
We kept making the joke last night. It's like, I can't get there. I have no boost, as you can now see. As you can now
That's
see,
funny.
I have no boost. But,
That's funny.
I don't know. It does make me wonder, like, and I've been wondering this for a while. We've talked about it when we've played Rocket League. Like, what are they doing? Mm-hmm. Like, are they making a new game? Are they...
They're making Fortnite.
Like, what is the Rocket League team, like, actually doing besides just making Octane skins for their Battle Pass?
They're putting cars in Fortnite.
I guess. But would that be the Fortnite team?
I don't know. Same company.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just curious on if they're working on a new game. Are they working on, like, have they been working on, like, a big update? I mean, they've been making money off this game for years because they've been...
They're doing a Rocket League Rock Band merger.
I'm not saying that...
Mad Max.
Making the Battle Pass and doing... collaborations and stuff like that, or blueprints or whatever. I'm not saying that doesn't cost it, like, take up people's time or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been, like I said, the game's been out for 9 years, and I would say for the better part of the last 3 or 4 years, it has to have been, I mean, they basically just been coasting. They've been making Battle Pass stuff and some items here and there, but, like, what are they actually, like, working on? Or are they working on anything?
And they don't need to reinvent the game. Like, I don't need a bunch of new content, but, like, every now and again... Like the basketball thing they put in, that was kind of fun for a little bit, you know, just some stuff like that. Like, just throw every so often, go, oh, okay, so you've been working on this cool little extra thing.
Or like the Fortnite stuff is it the time to be like, hey, this is the big Unreal Engine 5 update, or we're switching. It's still the same game, but it's all in Unreal Engine 5, so it's gonna look freaking gorgeous now, kind of thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
like a.
Mm-hmm.
Which Fortnite did seemingly like day one when Unreal Engine 5 was available. But I don't know. I'm just curious. And I just thought this was funny more than anything else. The boost thing is helpful. Sure. Was anybody asking to change the rarity names? No. Why do they do it?
No.
I don't know.
That's
Maybe they're just trying
one.
To come up with something to do because they have nothing to do. I don't know.
They'll change
it back.
The
colors didn't change. So it's like, we all still know.
I know. We know what it means. It's just, we don't know what it's called.
But now we know that the normal gray items are called sport.
Mm-hmm.
Sport rarity. Any final thoughts before we end out this podcast, Matthew?
Nope. Just waiting for the fun stuff here in the next month or so. Month and a half.
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of Destiny. It took me 7 whole days to do it, but I finally beat the Legendary Onslaught. And
Nice.
my range of emotions, because like Emily came home from work. She walked right over here, and I was like, I'll be up there to start making dinner in just 1 second. I was on wave like 38 or something like that, out of 50. And the bosses are the easiest part of Onslaught for those Destiny players who don't really know. Like, the bosses are pretty much like, it's easy to stay alive. You pretty much just do damage right out the gate. And then if there's still health on the boss, you just kind of stay alive and just kind of eat at away at it. The waves are the hard part. And so I had gotten to the 40s to like 47. We died once on like 49 here and there. But I was finally with a group and we beat wave 49. And that was my celebration. That was I'm going to scream a little bit. I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to say, let's go very loudly. Because the boss is easy peasy, lemon squeezy. But each of these 3 weeks, there's a new last boss. So last boss from last week was an ogre, which was like, let's just sit there and shoot him in the face. This week, which I didn't know until I went in there, this guy like moves around and chases you the whole time. So
Oh
like
boy.
right when we got in there, I was very scared very quickly. I was like, this is not as easy as I thought it was going to be. But I had good teammates and we made it work. It wasn't that hard
Nice.
still. But when I beat it was just like relief. Just like I had been sitting in a hot tub for like 30 minutes. So I was just like, it's over. I did it. I got my emblem.
Nice.
Nothing else happened but the emblem, but I got it.
Fair. Nice.
That's it. Any other final thoughts,
Nice.
Matthew?
No, I do want to get on there and do that sometime soon. I need to.
Well, it's time. So it's time to get
Yep.
kicking.
Yep.
I want to thank everybody for listening. Again, shoot us a comment if you are seeing this. Obviously, we did this live. That's why it looks weird and doesn't. If you're watching us on YouTube, that's why it looks funky because we are streaming this live on YouTube currently. If you are watching us on Friday when you normally do, or you want to watch us over on YouTube, if you can't find us for some reason, if you're listening to the audio version of this, I think I'll probably schedule the audio version of this for Friday normal time. But for those, just so you're aware, if you are listening to this, I'm probably just going, if we can continue to do the stream, just upload the audio like right after. So it's just available. It'll
Cool.
be available on Thursday evenings sometime. But that's gonna do it for us here. Thank you all for listening. We will be with you all again next week sometime.
See you.